I will be reading Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 9-10. Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, "Gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, and that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children."
Well, we've celebrated Veterans Day yesterday, and that's a day that is intended to honor all Americans who have died in wars, a day to remember the men and women who died while serving the United States Armed Forces. And we frequently hear that expression, "lest we forget," a reminder that there are significant events in the past that hold special meaning for us. And certainly we remember and honor those who made the ultimate sacrifice and those who are presently serving now, thankful for their sacrifice, their courage, and their dedication. In the text read from Deuteronomy 4, we heard the words, "do not forget and remember." Moses is addressing the people of Israel. He is preparing them for their entry into the promised land. He knows that they will face war. There will be fierce competition and opposition. But he's also concerned that they will be contented and satisfied and at peace with themselves. And so he says in chapter 8, verse 17, "Otherwise you may say in your heart, 'My power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth.'" And those addresses of Moses in Deuteronomy can be summed up in one word, a word that permeates the book, the entire book of Deuteronomy, and that one word is remember. Remember. Don't forget. On almost every section of Deuteronomy, and I want us to consider a few instances where we see that. Chapter 5, verse 15, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." Chapter 6, verse 12, "Then watch yourself that you do not forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt out of the house of slavery." Chapter 7, verse 18, "You shall not be afraid of them. You shall well remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt." And then chapter 8, verse 2, "You shall remember all the ways the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness for these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." And then verse 18 of chapter 8, "But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day." Remember who God is. Remember how God led you. Remember that you were in slavery. Remember, do not ever forget that your God is holy and powerful, and he's far greater than all the nations, and he's greater than you. And it's not because of your might and power and greatness that God is doing these things for you, but it is because of who God is. Don't ever forget, as you enter this land, that the nature of the God who leads you. And so the words of Moses are our words this morning. We must never forget our servicemen and women and their sacrifices, and we must never forget the Lord, our God. Certainly that was the emphasis of Moses in those addresses in the book of Deuteronomy. So let me share with you five challenges for the family here at Regency. And so to the families here, as you still have children at home, the primary responsibility of passing on the story of God is in your home. They need to see that faith lived day by day. Deuteronomy 6 And appreciate the songs that Eddie led this morning, reminding us of some of these things that we're going to be reading about. But chapter 6, verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And Moses is not saying that we're to be talking to our children every waking moment, but we are to teach them all of the time. And I believe that sometimes greater lessons are learned in these informal settings. A conversation around the breakfast table, a walk in the park, a bedtime conversation, than in formal structured settings where teaching may also take place. But we need to make our homes a dynamic place of witness of the story of who God is and what God has done and is doing in the lives of His people. In all three speeches here in Deuteronomy, God's concern for children is abundantly clear. Pass God's law on to the children, and I am so thankful to be part of a church who loves and teaches children. And thank all of you who have been a part of this ministry. I cannot thank you enough for what you do. But that is an important thing for us to remember. But I think number two, we need to renew ties with all the generations. One of the things that must be done in the church is to hear the stories of the elderly among us. And one of the great things that we can do is to ask them to tell the story, to ask them about their faith, ask them about their Christian life. Let them tell the story. It's not only important for them, but I believe it is important for the church to hear. And so keeping those ties with all generations, the elderly, the young, the middle-aged, but whatever. But I think it's important for us to hear those stories of those who have been serving the Lord for a number of years. And number three, we need to restore the biblical practice of witnessing. I don't mean the kind of witnessing where I tell you who I am and what I'm doing and draw attention to myself. But I mean in a biblical sense, what we see through Scripture. Here is what the Lord is doing. Here is what the Lord has always done. Here are the changes I've made. This is what I used to be like, but I've been transformed. I still sin. I still struggle. But the Lord is working mightily in me. And so we must hear each other. We must have opportunities to share with each other that kind of faith, to remember our sin and weakness, and to recognize the living presence of God in the world, and that who we are and what we've become is not because of how wise or how educated or how wealthy we are, but who we are in the world is because of who God is. And what He's done for the world. And what He's done for all of us. So I think that witnessing can take place with each other, but it also has to be extended to those out there in the world. That we must become an effective witness of Christ in the world. And then number four, if we restore a biblical notion of what remembrance is, it will change what happens when we take the Lord's Supper. We have done that this morning. And when Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me," He didn't mean just think a few thoughts, recollect a few ideas. But I believe He was saying that there is a dynamic re-experiencing of the death and resurrection of Christ when we come together and share in the Lord's Supper. That the very power to save from sin, the very power that raised Christ from the dead, is now present with us as we gather around this table. And when we remember in that event, we encounter a living Christ here, which means that what we do in the supper can have a dramatic effect on all other things, on all other activities of our lives. And so it ought to be a transforming event. We don't just come and take the Lord's Supper because it's Sunday and we've got to take it. But when we eat the bread and drink the cup, We are encountering his death and resurrection. And when we do it, it will change who we are. It will reorient us toward his ways. And I believe it will help us in passing on the faith from generation to generation. And then we need to remember all the good things that God has done and be thankful. Psalm 100, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. And we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations. I see three things here in this psalm. Number one, we have a great deal for which to be thankful. The privilege to be able to thank you, Lord. Thank you for our very existence from the day of our birth until now. Thank you for your marvelous creation. For the satellites and the submarines and the microscopes and the telescopes which allow us to see a little more of this wonderful world that you have made for us. Thank you for the redemption we have in Christ. Thank you for giving us meaning in our lives. Thank you for our families, our friends, our jobs. Thank you for Scripture which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Thank you for your people, past and present. Thank you for the hope of eternal life. We have a great deal for which to be thankful. But then thanksgiving is to emerge in a lifestyle. It's to emerge in a way of conduct, not just a voice. In other words, thanksgiving is to translate into thanks living. And I think that's an important thing for all of us to keep in mind. And then I believe that there is a kind of therapy, a kind of growth that comes out of thanksgiving. On the other hand, there is a paralysis of spirit that comes through constant complaining. Thanksgiving is to translate into thanks living. When we remember who our God is and what God is doing in the world, I believe it will change how we live. I believe that we will truly begin to have the concerns of God in this world, that we'll do our very best to look with his eyes and to respond with his heart. Then we will be a community of character. Then we will be, in a godly sense, distinct from the world when we remember. Remember. Do not forget. Certainly that's something we have been doing this past week as we have again honored and remembered all of our veterans and those who have served and those who continue to serve. But I think that was an important point that Moses was trying to get across to his people who were about to enter into that promised land. I do not want you to forget why you are going to enter into this promised land. Do not forget all that your great God has done for you. And we also must not forget, we must remember all that our God has done for us. Let's pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, how can we ever begin to thank you for all that you have done for us. We thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for our families, for our friends. We thank you, Father, for the church. We thank you that we can be a part of a body here that does our very best to encourage one another and build up one another. We thank you for opportunities to go out there and to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. And most of all, Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, whom you were willing to send to this earth as part of your eternal plan, who lived among us for a while, who demonstrated your love for all of the world. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. May we never forget all of those things that you have done for us. And I just cannot even begin to fathom, Father, the depth of your love. When you heard your Son cry out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It was because that you loved us so very much. May we never, never, never forget that love. And may we try to demonstrate that love within our own families, within this church community here, and to the world around us. Thank you again, Father. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing our song of encouragement. And if there is anyone here today who is ready to respond to the gospel of Christ through faith, repentance, baptism, we certainly encourage you to take that step today. If you desire the prayers of this body here, we're here to pray with you, to pray for you, to help you in any way that we possibly can. So if you need anything today, or if you need to respond to the invitation, please come as we stand together and sing.